Ben Foulkes is the most beautiful cricketer in the world.
Stuart Broad is a Cherries and Berries legend.
Glenn Maxwell is in the Cherries and Berries big boy category.
Hello and welcome to the Cherries and Berries Cricket Podcast. It's episode 8. England are struggling in India. Can they make it 2-2? We review the third test, we preview the fourth test, and I'm joined again this evening with Darren Price, Ollie Harker, Tom Fairclough. Good evening, boys. How are we going?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Good evening.
Oh, it's been a week, boys. It's been a week since we've been here, and it seems like forever since we last chatted absolute bollocks on this podcast.
And I'm back. So, hello.
Tom is back.
It does feel like a long time ago, doesn't it?
A lot has happened.
Yeah. It's been a long old week, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But a lot's happened, but it feels so long since we watched England in a test match.
Yeah.
Glad to be fair. Isn't it?
There were days where I was doing just nothing, wondering what my purpose was in life.
What is like the point to my life?
Like I should have been doing something else.
Boys, well, we've had some questions in from our listeners, which is great. It's great to know that people are listening and people are enjoying the show. We've got one from a regular listener, a regular questioner. It's Connor, and he says, after the recent two-day test, who, if anyone, has any confidence left in that changing room to put in a match-winning performance? It's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's an empty changing room, I think, on that occasion. I think somebody like Don Bess, I think for me, he's always full of beans. He would lead. He'd be the man.
Darren.
Ben Foulkes.
Oh,
Ben
God,
Foulkes is still confident. He's the man that we need to look to now.
Tom.
We literally want 1 minute 15.
Yeah, 1 minute 15, we're already talking about Ben Stokes. I know this might sound a bit weird, but Jack Leach.
Yeah, fair.
You know,
he's
got to be on a high after getting Forfar. So I think it's going to be a lot of the older heads that, you know, that are like Broadie, Anderson, Root, Stokes, like those, that sort of leadership group, that's where they're going to have to get behind everybody, like the likes of Burns, Sibbers, Crawley, Pope. Yeah. Let's, like, you know, come on, boys. There's still a series to draw here.
Ollie, I was with you with Don Bess, and here is why. Don Bess wasn't in the last two games, so hasn't got the mental scarring of the last two games.
He's watched it from the balcony, isn't he?
And in true test of time, your stock rises when you're not in the side.
Absolutely. Look how well I've done from here, boys. and seeing me getting skittled on that pitch, are you?
Fantastic. I've got another question in. This is from a new listener.
Oof.
His name is Callum, and he is from Morpeth Cricket Club up north. And Callum asks, and it's related to local cricket, his league have asked the question, do we need tees?
No.
Well,
like a tee is Tom Fairclough's look of shock.
I was going to say, if the listeners could be viewers and see my face, I would be an absolute... To be perfectly honest, after last year with the COVID cricket season, it worked well, just having a 10-minute interval, you have a quick sandwich, unless you were obviously opening the batting or whatever. It worked well, to be fair. You know, you can always have a barbecue at the end. A few beers, a barbecue.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's loads.
Exactly.
There's loads.
My biggest frustration with cricket that we play, and be it a Saturday or a Sunday, is obviously it takes a lot of time, and then we all fart about eating scones and cakes and sandwiches for 45 minutes or however long it is. And I'm like, come on, let's just get on with the game.
Mate, what team do you play for? You get scones. I'll play.
We've had scones before.
I'll put pen down to paper for some scones.
Well, we've definitely had scones. Some people might call them scones, and we can have that debate.
Bobby, they're scone once you've eaten, my friend.
No, I think that teas, especially this year with coming into COVID, another kind of COVID laden year, I think will probably won't happen. But I think they'll just be reserved for special occasions, really, President's Days, etc.
Yeah, totally.
I agree with that. The time saving, the cost saving, the headache of getting someone to run them, and who wants your opening bat or your opening bowler laden with 18 sandwiches, 3,000 sausage rolls, pizza, and every other pig or pastry-based item that they can find on top of that some trifle.
I'm sorry, is this aimed at me right now, Anthony?
Waddling into bowl the first over. It's a misnomer. Yeah, no tease from me either.
Get on with the game, and afterwards have a burger from the barbecue, have a pint.
I think the biggest thing out of that question for me is that we have a new listener. I mean, I didn't realise we have those.
Thank you.
Well, there's more about Callum a little bit later. I've got a piece for him in Any Other Business. But Callum, that's a great question.
And cheers for that,
could
mate.
Have
Welcome
spent a lot
the...
more time discussing and going into greater detail. And
I will if
on
we need
a quiet
to.
Week sometime.
Yeah, but Tom, sorry. Many times I've come down to Malvern Cricket Club before the start of play, and you've been having a McDonald's, so you don't need
a
tea.
No, it's not a McDonald's, actually. I'm sorry, I have to disagree with you. It's actually a Greggs. You know,
no, I've seen no, you have McDonald's. No. Don't lie to me. Tom.
Other bakeries are available.
Other bakeries are available. But, you know, there is a little cliche in the club that, you know, we'll go for a cheeky G-Regs every Saturday morning.
Great question. OK, anyone else got any questions?
Matt Bladwick Hindmarsh, another regular listener. Cheers for your writing, Matt, as always. He writes in and says, the Afghan Zimbabwe game that just finished, that also finished within 2 days. And there's no mention of the state of the pitch, like on the news or anything like that. Whereas actually, it's still quite a bigger an issue as the England-India game. What are our thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, this ties into my question from Henry. Henry Turner. He just wants to get our thoughts on the pitch of the India test.
Yeah.
So you know, we can kill two birds with one stone.
This is good, but if we address the Zim Afghan one first, and then we'll go on to relating that to how we feel about the third test over in India, and that will lead us into the third test review. Darren, does that fit well with your question?
Yes, we can come on to my question shortly. I think we need to address the question Ollie's just mentioned.
Perfect.
I mean, for me, I think for me, It simply comes down to the Afghan Zimbabwe game isn't a high enough profile for me. They're not one of the big countries. No one is particularly watching the game. There's a lot of big names out of both teams that aren't there. So I think the standard as well isn't that great. And it's just kind of gets shoveled under the rug. But Matt is right. Exactly the same thing has happened and no one is talking about it.
Yeah, totally agree with you there.
Yeah,
Ollie,
I think
on
you've answered
that one,
Ollie.
You've just hit it with the nail on the head.
Oh, boys, yeah. I am not used to being the voice of reason on this pod.
No, it is. It's not high profile enough. That's all it is.
Boys, have you seen the wickets go down? Now, I haven't watched a whole lot of it. Well, there wasn't a whole lot to watch, if we're honest, because it was over in 2 days. But I have looked at it a little bit, and you've hit the nail on the head, Ollie, with high profile, I think, and missing some players. Now, there was 100 scored by
a
Zimbabwean player. There were lots of low scores in there, and then there was a 40. I think it was possible to bat on that pitch. And I didn't see the pitch breaking up. It wasn't a dust bowl. It did take turn, but seamers took some wickets. It wasn't an out-and-out swinger and seamer, I don't think. Like I say, I haven't seen enough of it to be able to tell you all of the wickets were bad shots or that it was an unplayable track. But it didn't seem from the 10-15 minutes that I saw that it was a terrible track or that the track played a part in the dismissals to say, well, it's the same. Yes, the game has ended in 2 days, and no, that's not great, but that might be more to do with the fact that the teams weren't ready and able to play a test match over 5 days and went in a bit cold, and with some players that were maybe not able to sustain batting at a high-profile level. I don't know. I like I say, I didn't watch enough of it.
Yeah, but I think for me, a tip of the hat, and I've said this over like, I swear I've said this for like the last 5, 6, 7 years, Sean Williams doesn't half carry that team, does he? Like, he's the Zimbabwean that hit the 105, 174, and every time I look at Zimbabwe getting a good score, it's always Sean Williams. What a player. I mean, for that team, quality.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be there forever. I think he's nearly 40. There's nothing wrong with that tone. Nothing wrong with that tone.
Absolutely not.
be all right if Arnold could carry us on a Saturday.
Absolutely. But yeah, cheers for that, lad. That's it does a bit of food for thought there, definitely. There's some bigger issues there, I think, underneath.
Okay. So moving on to the contrast, where we had a hodgepodge of issues which have created a storm on Twitter and a storm on the pitch, which created a heart attack of a test match for test number three. Just, you couldn't actually leave the TV. So we left it day one, and after day one, England had been bowled out, and we'd taken, on the last ball of the day, last over of the day, we'd taken the a third Indian wicket. Kohli had gone down. I think we all were looking to the opportunity and the optimism, and we were trying to swell up this desire that we might open up the bowling and take some wickets and all of a sudden be back in the game.
We were dreaming, really.
Were we?
Well, yeah, actually, we knew exactly what we were talking about.
I said if we could get them out for 150-odd, we'd be right back in this game. And I got so excited because that's exactly what we did. And I started to believe we're back in this. We are back in this. And all of us would have taken India's first innings total, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. Like, I'm sorry, but we have to speak.
But it's the hope that kills you.
Joe Root's, that little spell. And your favourite man, Daz, bowling-wise, Joe Root.
So I had quite a few messages about this. Happy Pete in Ireland said, you know, I'd need to apologise on this podcast.
I think you do.
I had other messages from friends saying, you know, you're always going about Root, you need to apologise. Well, do you know what? I'm really happy that Joe Root got a fiver, but really, really, should our part-time spinner, who is our best batsman, be taking
our
a fiver?
Best bowler now, mate.
Oh, not only that, he was 3 for none off, like, 3 overs.
Yeah.
3 wickets
you know,
for none.
It's not right, is it? It's not right. And look, I'd love nothing more than us to go into this next test and win it. And if Joe Root gets the wickets, brilliant. If we beat Australia 5-0 and Joe Root gets the wickets, great. But it's not right. He should not be the one getting the wickets because he is our number four batsman. He's the best batsman in the team, one of the best batsmen in the world at the moment.
He's our number four bowler at the moment, mate.
Well, yeah, so, but it's not right because he shouldn't have to be picking the ball up and bowling.
He does it a lot as a captain, actually.
Too much.
If you look back, he does it quite a lot. And yeah, I know we've spoken about that, but he does take wickets. And I thought, and a question has to be begged. I think one of my friends, he didn't write in or anything, but he did ask me in passing. He said, what would have happened if Don Best were bowling instead of Joe Root? And I think that's definitely one to think about because obviously, like, Joe Root was bowling some nice areas, but Don Best can sure as hell give it a bit more of a rag. Mm.
I think the bigger issue is here is that we are not addressing the problem. If we're letting Joe Root bowl so much, what does that tell us about our bowlers? You know, especially our spin bowlers. We're not addressing the root, pardon the pun, the root cause.
Yeah.
No, agreed, Darren. So essentially, what it turns out is we've completely made a Horlicks of selection. But before we go on to that, can we just... Because Twitter's been going off on all sorts of aspects of life, but it's been going off on the pitch. And I've been on Twitter and having discussions with people over the pitch. Now, lots of people are saying the pitch wasn't the problem. If that would have been a Red Bull game during the daytime, that pitch would have been fine. Well, I don't know about that because the holes where Broad was going... putting his feet and whatever had come up inside one session, so it wasn't staying together. But I am willing to admit that if you take the pitch on its own volition, so you have a pitch that you're going to play, that is the pitch, and it may well have been a better pitch than it seemed because we played a day-night test match. Because it was a day-night test match, it played worse or more obscurely than it should have done. And this is the debate that's been going on, and we don't want to talk about the pitch for all days. But what did we know about this test match? What was the test match?
It was going to be a day-night
test match. It was a day-night test match. So we know that it's played in an afternoon and then an evening under lights.
Correct.
With a pink ball and you get some dew and whatever. So we know there's some regulations that the pink ball makers suggest how to prepare a pitch in order to get that ball through 90 overs and a day-night game. The truth of it is, the things that were fixed in this test match were, it was a day-night game and you were using a pink ball. The one thing that was variable that you could have made to fit those two things was the pitch. And if you made the pitch better, it would have lasted longer and you wouldn't have had players not knowing, like very good players. These are not no offence to Afghanistan and and Zimbabwe.
That's another listener but, bites the dust.
Yeah, but they're not Afghanistan and Zimbabwe. Kohli and Root are the two head honchos of the top four or whatever. And you've got some serious players on that pitch and they were missing straight ones. Now, these no one can tell me that they were trying to play the ball and they weren't being able to play it. So that tells me that the ball and the pitch and the aspect of being a day-night game, somebody somewhere has not done their job properly. And that is the BCCI who have prepared something that is not fit for the purpose of that aspect. And you can tell me that they got 49 for none in the second innings, but you may as well not worry about the second innings. In the same way that you may as well not worry about the second innings for India in the third test, because all the pressure was off. It was done and dusted by then. We'd given as best we could. And that's it. The truth is, it may have been a good pitch in another time and another place, but for what you had to use on it, someone's not done their due diligence. And if it was a corporation performing like that, you would get hauled over the coals, wouldn't you? If you were a line manager and you didn't do your job.
Two things from me about the test. And I've been to day-night test matches here in England. And I have to say, and I'm not just saying this because we lost to India, I'm not a fan of day-night test matches. I'm not. And I'm all for cricket progressing. I've just said get rid of tees in our level of cricket that we play. I believe that cricket does need to progress, not with the 100 though, but that's another debate. But day-night test matches, I do not enjoy them. I've been to them. I don't enjoy them. I think it's one area we need to stay traditional. And a test match should be played 11 till 6 or 10, 5, whatever time you want to start. But that's my opinion on that. And also, I've got to say, if that had been in England, and in fact, this did happen to a friend of mine, if we had tickets for day 3 or day 4, you'd be really pissed off, wouldn't you? And when we beat Australia at Edgbaston back in 2015, I went to day 2 and it was brilliant. And we won that test match on day 3. My friend had tickets for day 4 and he was distraught that he couldn't go and see England, Australia because it hadn't got to day 4. So it's not good for test match cricket. We can talk about the pitch all we like. It is not good for test match cricket that it's over so quickly.
I think, like, yes, the pitch looked a bit nasty, but lads, let's be realistic here. As watchers of the game, come on, it was exciting for a good... When England was taking those, it was incredible. You could not move away from your TV.
Yeah, it was just like cricket had just test cricket had just taken a whole load of ecstasy pills and was off its tits.
You know, the Benny Hill music playing. Yeah, it was. But actually, that was incredible. But obviously, we've now the next 3 days. I'm twiddling my thumbs, going, well, "Where's the rest of the game?" So I think there's definitely a balance there. But I know I went back. I did say this, but why in like you say, a day night game, and in India, we've gone with Broad and Anderson bowling together, three seamers and one spinner in India.
We fell into the trap. Into the day-night trap. We did it in Australia when we thought day-night, it's our conditions, we'll bowl first. We lost that test match. And we've done the same here with team selection. We've thought day-nighter, that'll suit our seamers, we'll get some swing. Fell into a massive trap there. It was going to be a spinning track. Always.
Yeah, we're playing in India with one frontline spinner. It's just a recipe for disaster, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that brings us on to the main failing, I think, or some other main failings. Now, we can put the the pitch to bed, because we don't want to argue about that with any others who think that the pitch was amazing, like Coley. Yeah, it's a great pitch. Anyway,
shut up, Mira.
And Nathan Lyon, absolutely wonders. The pairing, yes, like mate, it was a beautiful pitch.
Can you imagine Tim Payne wicket keeping on that?
He just walked past it, wouldn't he? Oh, sorry, Nate. Sorry.
He struggles on a flat pitch, let alone that sort of pitch.
Unlucky, Gary.
So the failing is that we haven't looked at that pitch and gone, we need another spinner. We haven't looked before when we were sending people home and gone, okay, we don't want to send them home for this game because actually we want a second spinner. But we also want someone who's a better batsman, i.e. Mo. And we've sent Mo home, or planned for Mo to go home when he could have gone home earlier or gone home later. And then we could have had that batsman as well as the spin bowler. Not only that, we've not looked at the match before when we got undone by spin on a spinning track and gone, shit, ooh, it's not bowlers we need. It's not bowlers we need, it's batsmen. And actually, I would argue that if I was writing this team from scratch, with hindsight, obviously, having seen the pitch and seen what's gone on, I would have loaded it with all batsmen, had a bit of bowling from Stokes, a bit of bowling from Root. I'd have had two spinners and one seam bowler.
Mm.
Yeah, that's all you needed.
Stokes seeker that could have... Yeah, yeah.
Just the rest of batsmen. Yeah, absolutely. I think Woke, like even putting someone like Wokes in there, because Wokes as well can hold a bat.
Yeah.
You know, to be your one pace man. You know, I just felt like it was almost like you say, Daz. It was a day-nighter. We're gonna pick four pacers.
Yeah.
And a spinner. And I was like, I said this last episode. I couldn't understand why we're in India with one frontline spinner. Yeah. It's absolutely balmy.
It is. It is shocking. We fell into a massive trap. And it's very, very poor management, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this is the thing. Is also, like, I feel like Ollie just said, like, we've gone to India with the, like, one frontline spinner, you know, since Swanee, and, like, we haven't had that, you know, like, that sort of spinner, have we?
Can I interject there?
Yeah.
We've gone to India
with many.
Leach, Moeen, Bess... who are three frontline spinners, and
Crane,
a backup of Virati, Parkinson,
Crane. But this is what I mean. We're not giving. We've got them. Yeah, we're playing. that's what I'm trying to make. That point is we've got them all there, and we're playing one frontline spinner.
Tom, as I say, poor management.
It just blows my mind.
What's Ed Smith doing?
Well,
what is Ed Smith doing?
Drinking champagne and chilling in the director's box, isn't he?
I mean, we, in fairness, we've been singing the praises of Ed Smith, so I'm not going to be jumping on his back.
The theory of Ed Smith, we've been, but the application of his theory has left a little to be desired, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
he stuck to his guns with Besto, but I'm not sure why you would bring someone back in for two games, then send him back home again.
That didn't
make any sense. He'd only just got back. He's not a Test cricketer. He's not got a Test central contract.
Mm.
You bring him back as the, and then you bring him back again, and apparently, his journey back for the third Test was horrendous, and he didn't get back in time to get mindset and everything ready.
So,
but I've said
so
this.
I feel like this is just laying the groundwork here for we'll probably come into it, but Bairstow's second innings, and this is Tony creating that little soft bed for Bairstow to fall. Because boys, I'm going to talk about it now because it's still the funniest thing. So ball one goes out, Zach Crawley got an absolute jaffer, ball one turned, he's gone back, oh dear. What a start. Axar Patel, first ball. Indians on fire. Johnny Bairstow, the man at number three, saviour of English cricket, according to Tony. Going to be the best batsman in all three formats a couple of years ago, apparently. That went well. Goes out.
I blame Ed Smith for that, though.
Okay. It wasn't even a sweep. He tried to just wave across the line at one. LBW shout, got overturned. Massive reprieve. And the next ball, nope. Johnny's going to play a nice little four defensive that I could park a double-decker bus in between and get this done through the gate. I mean, it was an absolute...
It was comical. It was absolutely comical.
It was almost funny. It was, and I felt... But he looked... Now, I'm usually... I will be the first one to jump on Johnny Bairstow's back. I don't like the guy, particularly in the way he carries himself. However, he looked, as a player, absolutely shot. He just looked... Mentally, he looked tired. He seemed quite lethargic in his movements. Mm. He just looked shot as a player.
But if he has gone back to England and then travelled back to India, had a bad journey,
he's
going to be knackered because your body takes a while to get into the time zone, etc. And I said this before in one of our previous episodes. Why are we dicking about now with this rotation, you know, policy? Because surely isn't the time to rest the players when we're back in England? And look, I get we're trying to look after people's mental health. No one supports that more than I, right? And you hope, and I've said this before, you hope they get the timing right of rotating the players. I don't think we've got it right, though. And why would you send someone back to England to then have another, like, 11-hour, I think it's about 11 hours, flight to India? But it's more than 11 hours when you've got to get to the airport, you've got to get out of the airport.
Yeah, for the sake of a week where they have to quarantine at home anyway. Because
it's not worth it.
My idea of it, you know, wait till you're back for the English summer to do your sort of your rest and selection sort of thing.
Yeah.
You
should, family time.
Yeah, because you're in your own country, you can just ping over to the country. What they should have done with the Sri Lanka and with all the tests really that have been abroad, they should have gone, right, we're choosing a 28-man squad, mixed of obviously everything. We're then all going into quarantine. We're staying as one bubble. Nobody will leave. If you're not playing, you'll be there. You'll be there as support, really. Yeah, you know, you'll be part of the support team. Yeah. Exactly. You know, stay together. And that's the way I would have done it, instead of, you know, because like you said, me and Ollie were speaking about earlier before we started this, and it's just like Bairstow's head had gone completely, like, you've done well in Sri Lanka, you know, and to be dropped for two matches to go home to, it's just like, just keep everybody as one. You're all trying to keep this biosecure bubble. Just keep a squad of 28 and just move around.
Yeah, and keep the test team. And I know this is difficult. It will probably weaken either the test team or the ODI team, but keep those two squads separate while we're going through COVID.
Well, not only that, Darren. So there is a solution to the Johnny Bairstow rest situation, is that you rest him for the one day stuff. Yeah. What do we know about Johnny Bairstow? He is the best one day player we've got, probably.
Wow.
is he not? He is awesome in the one day game.
He's a great
over the last couple
player.
Of years. He has been unbelievable. He's better than Roy, and he's better than anyone else in
Butler?
The England side.
Better than Butler?
Yeah, arguably.
I jest. He's a very good one day player.
If we know that already, he can go home during that. He's got nothing to prove in that. He's got plenty to prove in the test arena.
The test arena is what he wants, isn't it? He wants to be going, I want to be scoring runs in the test arena.
Not only that, we've got a ready-made replacement. I know Morgsy doesn't like him, but Hales is a ready-made replacement.
Yeah.
Like, could walk in and do exactly like a similar job and was doing as good or better than Bairstow before he had his troubles. So drives me a bit mad that we're making these problems for ourselves when we've got solutions there or thereabouts. Now, we've got another, this is for another time, but we've got another thing with, we've got people like Banton coming in, and you can't...
Yeah,
and
a gun.
He's a gun, and he's a good prospect, and he's a great player, but you can't tell me he's better than Joe Clark or Tom Cadmore. Not a chance. Anyway, we digress.
Oh, Connor Cadmore!
Yeah. I love it. You can tell you've been on the Twitter, mate. That's all I'm saying. You've been on the keyboard warrior, haven't you? But no, I would just like to talk about the Indian bowling, if I may. We've spoken about our batting.
It was class.
It worked great.
Absolute class.
But can we talk about Ashwin and Axar Patel, please?
Yeah. They were pretty good, weren't they?
They were all right. Axar Patel, he's my favourite player this year so far. I love watching him bowl.
Everyone's your favourite player. Shut up.
Let's see how he does in English conditions later this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll doctor a pitch. I mean, we'll get a pitch ready so that it won't turn straight up and down.
Well, that's how he got us out. So let's make one that turns.
Thought we were moving on from the pitch, boys. Come on. But no, they're both bold. And Ashwin, again, showed his class. He's annoying, very, very annoying player. Axel Patel, again, looked really surprised whenever one didn't turn and got a wicket. However, the one that did get best, there was an absolute gem. I will say that. That was an absolute peach. Just like about half a foot outside off. Big turn in, top of off. Cheers, mate.
Bit like me.
Just beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. but no, they bowled really well. But there's nothing to say about the seamers. I was hoping to hear something about, you know, Bumrah or Ishant Sharma, but it was absolutely, the whole test match was all about two spinners.
Yeah, and they were brilliant. And it summed it up, I think, for the new great English hope, Pope, who unfortunately got wilied out by the wily old dog Ashwin. Those two deliveries that he bowled were class, the highest class of bowling.
Yeah.
So he's got one around the wicket, first one around the wicket, bowls, takes him off stump, straightens a bit. The second one over the wicket was, I think it was the Karen ball. It goes the other way, it's got him on toast. I mean, he didn't know which way to go, and I don't blame him, because that would have got anyone out. That was,
well, but mate, you know me, like I get bowled and walk past ones that don't turn at all, straight and down, and then by the time I'm in the changing rooms, I'm trying to convince everyone it went round and roundabout. But I can't imagine what it's like
until I'm there at the other end umpiring with the camera.
But on Ollie Pope, though, that's a classic example of a cricketer who's got his game. So his game is quite good. He believes in his game. But when a bowler comes in and conditions come in that then cut through that, like, this is now new territory for you, Ollie. This is completely new. You could see he just lost. He was just rattled. He was absolutely rattled. He was like, I don't know what this is. These are alien conditions, and this is all new territory for him there.
Yeah, I mean, it's been said that he's, by other podcasts and other people with greater minds than me, probably, that he's a rhythm player. And he broke his arm or whatever it was, that his injury, shoulder, wasn't it? Shoulder injury.
Yes, yeah.
That he couldn't play and has been recovering from. He's not had a lot of time to get his batting rhythm, and he's not had a lot of time to get his batting rhythm against seam, because there's been no seam.
None, yeah.
And
Is he batting too low? Maybe he needs to go up the
order.
But
he can't unless you move Stokes or Root.
No, so perhaps going to three, maybe.
Well, I mean, there is that option. I guess there is.
Select a Harker. I'll get my CV in the morning. Make my stamp on the selection committee.
So there's the other thing I'd like to say about the test match is I think it became a bit easier under the lights and against seamers. Obviously, Crawley in the first innings, the first 10 overs were seamers and he was looking comfortable.
Gold.
Then India got off to a decent start in their second innings under the lights, in their first innings, in the second innings of the game on day one, under the lights, they got, because they'd got to 90 for three, was it, overnight?
Yeah.
And that was 40 more than really, we'd got to 72 for three and then we got bowled out. So 20 more or whatever, 22 more. And that extended then out. So they got a few more extra. But the rest castled in that first two sessions of the day. And then the lights came on, it became a bit easier, I think. A little bit.
Yeah. But is that not just because they're bowling seam on a spinning track? Is it just not that the seam was ineffective on that track completely?
Well, it was.
I can't remember a period. I mean, Archer got a couple through.
Well, Sibley got out to one, and that was about it on day one.
Let's be realistic, boys. And I hate to say it, but that was a bit of a drubbing. And in a really weird, perverse kind of way, I hated it. I hated watching it in terms of England getting castled. But damn, was it exciting.
Yeah.
And damn, was I like... I got a lot of work done in those couple of hours where England got skittled, boys. I can tell you that much. And where Rooty was taking those wickets, I got so much work done in those meetings.
I thought it was exciting when we got back into it. You know, we got them all out for 150-odd. That was exciting. And I thought we showed great spirit to get back into the game. But I think that excitement turned to farce after that. That's my opinion.
Yeah,
it's just unfortunate, because I think if they'd got another 100 or 70 and batted till lights, and then we'd have had a session under the lights, actually we could have then been maybe 70 for two all of a sudden. You never know where you can get to with a bit of momentum. But anyway, We didn't. And
dreams. However, Daz, your prediction of at the start of the series of 2-2.
It's on the cards. Yeah, it's on the cards.
It is on the cards. What I would say, I also fell into the trap and said we'd win the day.
Yeah, you thought you'd win this one.
But I did say at the beginning that this would be the greatest Test series of all time. I probably didn't get that prediction quite right. It's been a fascinating Test series, and I'm still gunning for 2-2.
Lots has happened in this series. Yeah. Really. Mm. Like this has been. I think it has been exciting.
Oh, it has.
It's very exciting to watch.
And we should not forget our performance in the first Test. On the back of winning two Tests away in Sri Lanka,
yeah,
it hasn't been a bad winter, really, has it?
No, it's been. I mean, for me, I think the funniest part is just, like I say, Kohli keeping a straight face whilst trying to say that the pitch was absolutely fine.
Did you see what he said to that?
After the Test match has finished on day two, yeah, nothing wrong with the pitch, all good, it's fine, buddy.
Did you see what he said today? So he's come out and said,
"No,
the reason we've been so successful is because we don't crib about pitches."
Ah, yes. So actually, I'm gonna bring this up. So I obviously did the usual drop of the question as to what people thought we should speak about in the pod, and Michael Tate actually pipped up and with that exact news article that, you know, Kohli saying, "Oh, we shouldn't crib about pitches." And there was when India were playing in England, the last series, Kohli was complaining then that the pitches adopted for seam bowling. and he's complaining then, he's having a moan because that was the series, I don't think it was this series, it was the series before, where he had a really low score in England. He wasn't doing very well at all. He was nicking off all the time. And he was having a right moan about the pitches. And now you look at what we've just played on and he stood there with a straight face going, "Yes, lads, absolutely fine. I see no problems here." It's quite funny. He's such a wide
reaction.
And then I love it. But and then on the contrast of that, you've got Michael Vaughan on Twitter, your favourite platform, Joe, standing in front of making a right tit of himself on Twitter.
On his old cabbage pants, wasn't it, in his back garden?
Yeah, exactly.
Absolute in front of his idiot.
To be fair, for Vaughan, that was quite funny.
Yeah.
And generally, most of his stuff has been recently pretty dire, but that actually I thought was half funny.
He is a chosen berries dick, isn't he? Along with Graham Swan.
I can't remember voting on this.
I do want to mention a question because I promised him I'd ask this question. So a very loyal listener of ours, Tom Gibbons of Redditch in Worcestershire, did send a message straight after the end of the Test match, and his question was, "What the fuck have I just watched?" That was his question.
Now, it's probably a similar thing to what people say after they've listened to us.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
I did nearly reply to him and say, have you just been watching Wolverhampton Wanderers? Because he's a big Wolves fan.
Someone's got to be, haven't they?
Bless him.
Get destroyed by City. Mm.
But that was his question. Well, so thanks for your question,
yeah.
Tom.
I'm with Tom on that because I think I remember putting in the group chat, I got the biggest telling off and the biggest slap around the back of the head off my mother with it. I just, my head went after Bairstow.
That's because you called him a naughty word, didn't you, Tom?
It was a naughty word that I won't repeat.
It's that bad.
Okay, so we move on to preview the new dawn, the new saviours.
The draw.
Cue the cheesy inspirational music.
It's a new day in easy for me to say, Ahmedabad. And we'll be watching England to victory. But how are we going to do it, boys?
I mean, come on, lad. We have to take in two spinners.
Yes.
But I don't know whether or not they're going to recall Bess. They've openly come out and said, no, we don't really have faith in him. So where are they going to pluck this other spinner from?
I can just see us going with this. I can see us dropping either Archer or Broad.
We'll drop Broad, I think.
Yeah, and I can just see Wokes being thrown in.
Well, he's gone home. That's the other thing.
Oh, is he gone home?
Wokes has now gone home.
He's gone. So I've literally been...
And he sent Chris Wokes home.
Do you reckon Ed Smith's there with a bingo ball machine and he's gone number five?
Number five.
Your number is now. On you go, son.
He's playing there and he's gone, right, number five. Right, now we'll see what you're doing. Are you staying or going?
I'm not even going to attempt to pick an 11 because I just don't know who's available and who isn't anymore.
Oh, mate. I don't know
but
anymore.
But we do need more spinners in that team. We can't rely on Joe Root. Joe Root should not be bowling the amount that he is. And that's not me being harsh on the guy.
He's taken those
wickets. It is just not right. We've got to address what's going on here.
I think if we don't, it will be the same result.
We need to gamble basically. Because we need to take 20 wickets.
Yeah.
So we need to find a way to take 20 wickets. And one of the three who have been there that haven't played might have to play.
Honestly, just try it.
As well as Bess, as well as Leach. And maybe the two fastest bowlers that we've got.
Go Archer
Well, it's not Archer, Wood. Is it? Because he's bowling slower
Wood.
Than my mum.
It's Wood. It's Wood. Wood is Woody, rapid, yeah. Mate. But everyone goes on about Archer, about this pace. Wood is routinely faster than Archer.
Look, Archer's been bowling 137.
Yeah.
There's about seven Pakistani bowlers in the Pakistani Super League bowling faster than that. Nine maybe.
You bowl faster than that.
Well, I don't. Not anymore.
I know, you talk faster than that. That's what it was. Talk and bowl, I got it all mixed up.
But no, I think, I would agree with, we need to bring in the spinners. I'd probably take in Crane. Mason Crane's a good, handy spinner. He's played...
Leggy as well, so it gives you something different, doesn't it?
Yeah. Parkinson is not quite there, I don't think. He from what I gather, he's quite slow through the air, and I think he will get destroyed.
You could go Leach, Verdi, and Crane. You go three spinners.
Do something. Yeah, just three spinners. Throw, why not?
You know, it gives them the experience of it, doesn't it?
They're definitely going to play best.
You reckon?
You think so?
Do you reckon
they need a batsman as well?
Because he says he's ready, and I don't see how you can. He's taken what 40 wickets in the last five tests or whatever
that he's
played. I don't think you. He's gonna be able to hold a bat as well. That's the other thing. Yeah. We had the longest tail in the history of the world.
I can't remember a tail. I can't remember having a tail that long for a long time.
Archer, long time. Come on,
mate. Yeah, mate.
He's got some wood on Smith. I know it.
There are people we are speaking that are speaking right now who are a better batsman than Jofra Archer. Eh? I would back probably Mozzie. I'd back probably back you. Hell, I'd back myself. He does. He just. Sorry, Cluffy. Are you here as well?
Back me.
But no. We need a long. But that's the thing. That's the issue. Is that there's many problems here. We need batsmen. We also need spin bowlers.
Basically, we need a whole fucking wheels. International team.
We do. We need a different team. But yeah, if Bess is ready, and I think they have to have faith in him.
Yeah, look,
Bess will play.
I think we've still got some great players. We've just got to get the selection right.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's all.
Their mentality has
got to get
that
right. The right team that ticks really as well, isn't it? The good balance and mix of it. That's what we've got to find.
What do you think, boys? Do we take any batsmen out of that squad? Or do we leave it as is?
What do we think about the treatment of Rory Burns? And we'll go on to his mental state shortly when we discuss further things and further Twitter rants. But what do you think England were thinking? They brought him back for two tests, one on an absolute car crash of a pitch, and then they drop him. They've dropped Bess. But not done it nicely. They've gone. We just don't fancy
sod you off.
Which isn't going to do them any good. And now do you bring him back again? I mean, that makes no sense either.
But this is the issue.
Lawrence, they've dropped Lawrence. Have they done that? Oh no, we don't fancy him. But now we need him because we got no one who can play the straight ball. I don't know. I don't know how you justify what you've done to these players on this merry-go-round of playing or not playing,
especially when
one of them has taken loads of wickets.
I
think whatever they do now, they are going to shoot themselves. They can't win now, because if you bring players in, they'll be in a shot mental state. They'll either be too hyped up and too eager to score, or they'll be like, well, I'm just being brought in because the last guy failed. But if you keep the people that are in the squad, they're also are going to have a bit of a shot mental state, like from
missing straight chance.
They cannot win here. I had no problem with Rory Burns, if I'm honest. I think his technique gives me heart attacks watching that bat come from Gully. Point. But yeah, but he did actually look, for someone who hadn't played for a while, his first test back, I know he played a couple of weird shots, but he looked reasonably smooth. And I don't understand why, if we're struggling for that number three, like Bairstow doesn't seem to be quite on it, Lawrence is not a number three batsman, why don't you just give it to Crawley, where, you know, that's where he scored his double 100.
Yeah.
It's a good question. I think what they need to do is obviously take two spinners, Leach and Bess, and maybe another one, but you definitely either want one or two really fast bowlers plus Stokes and Root, and then stick all the other batsmen in a hat and get Ed Smith's bingo balls out.
the bingo ball rolling.
And just take lottery pick on the bonus ball for the other positions. And
number
go,
seven,
go with it.
Johnny Bairstow. Johnny, you're batting five this week.
But having said that, boys, we're going to win, so it doesn't matter. Because Darren said,
I still believe in 2-2.
Believe in the bowl.
We're going to lose, boys.
No, I think we'll come back.
I'm putting that out there.
We haven't. We have nothing to lose apart from a test match.
Apart from the game.
So
apart from a test series, you know.
Yeah, but look.
I wish I recorded that because I want to replay it when we were looking at the lose thing in the column.
You kind of right, Darren. We've got a shot to nothing because everyone's expecting us to lose, and if we go out there, a bit similar to India, although they were riding a bit of a crest of a wave, having lost the first test and then drawn one, then won one, and then came back to win the last. We have a shot to nothing because we're expected to lose. So go out there, leave it all on the pitch.
Absolutely.
Go with a positive attitude to batting. Try to score runs rather than get in a quandary and go for it.
Mm. Yeah. Which we shall see, gents. Obviously, it starts at 4 a.m. tomorrow. So we're back into the wake up all blurry-eyed.
That was the other funny thing, which was about the test. We recorded after day one, and I did my quickest editing yet on one of our podcasts, and still didn't manage to have it out by the time the test match had ended on day
two. Don't worry. Nothing wrong with that pitch. Great game. Cheers, boys. What you put two full day display. Cheers, Curly, mate. Thank God you're not a commentator. Oh. Before we move on, the commentators were abysmal.
Again.
Right, now we can move on.
Again.
They were terrible.
So I've got, for a later show, I have definitely got a commentator's piece to do. When we've got a quiet week and there's not much to talk about, we can select our dream nine cricket commentators that we have.
That'd be legendary.
So if there are any listeners, you can start putting your mind to piecing together your dream nines, and one of the sessions we'll put that out and we'll get them on, and we'll put our dream teams together. Anyway, moving swiftly on, the England ladies have been out in New Zealand, or are out in New Zealand, and they've been doing pretty well, have they not?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Apart from the last ODI, where they got a bit of a thumping, but no. Then first, 2-1, we got the win. You know, it's good to see.
Tammy Beaumont. I know we mentioned her last week because Happy Pete asked a question about Tammy Beaumont. She is now ranked number one in ODI cricket.
Yes, she is. Mm. Absolutely. Well done, Tammy. And she got another 50 in the game we lost. And she got some more runs today, I think, in the T20.
She is a gun, wouldn't you not agree, Ollie?
She is absolutely a gun. I think I remember watching her a couple of years ago and thinking, oh, she's quite good. But this was when, you know, you had Heather Knight and Charlotte Edwards and Amy Jones, I think, as well. We're all kind of tonking it. And she kind of stayed under the limelight. But this year is absolutely being her year, I think, so far. She's been absolutely smoking it. So, yeah, long may it continue, because I want to see her play like this against basically India and the Aussies. And if she does, she'll make big impacts on games.
Brilliant. So did anybody... I know the games go on at an awful time, so we can only catch up on BBC Sport or Cricket Info or one of the others. There's plenty out there who give stats. Did we see much of it? I saw a bit of bowling here or there, but I didn't
see it. Yeah, I watched some of the highlights on my break when I was at work, you know, on YouTube. It looked all right, to be fair.
I'd say the standard actually is really quite, from the bits that I've seen, actually kind of surprised me. Because as we know, New Zealand is a smaller country. Obviously, their men's team is doing amazing things at the moment. But in their female counterpart, there isn't a huge amount of funding. It's quite new. So to see that kind of standard, they're bowling with decent pace, nice areas. It looked quite good. It was actually watchable.
Whereas in the past, it was competitive for both teams. I know England, obviously,
things could happen.
Yeah.
And it's great to see, you know. I mean, so there's a leg spinner in New Zealand side called Amelia Kerr, who I love watching bowl. She gives the ball an almighty tweak. And she was playing really well. And her sister, Jess Kerr, is also playing. So there's obviously quality coming through. I thought it was quite good. I was quite surprised, pleasantly surprised.
As we move on, we had an unfortunate Twitter spat between Alex Hartley and Rory Burns. Some unfortunate wording from Alex, who basically said, "Thanks very much for all getting out so you can watch us play this evening." and Rory having just been dropped, didn't take it very well.
Yeah,
he chucked his toys. His toys were chucked a fair distance out of his pram.
Sean's written in and shown us this and said, "Discuss, boys." Well, I think basically Ed Smith is to blame because he's treated Rory Burns pretty badly and Rory's lost the plot.
Yeah, Ed's gone. Ed has gone completely.
Ed's gone, yeah.
Ed's gone, yeah.
I think that two is bad. Things here.
That is terrible. This might be our last episode.
I think I'm done. I must be done.
Two things. One, I think it's a storm in a teacup.
Absolutely.
Two, and this is, again, this is easier said than done. If I was a professional sports person, I'm not. If I was, I would not be on Twitter. In fact, I am not on Twitter anymore because I actually took myself off Twitter about 5 months ago because it wasn't doing my mental health any good. And that wasn't because I was having spats with anyone, but I just found that I was wasting my time on Twitter and seeing people moan. Now, that's my own fault because most of the people I followed and followed me were West Brom fans and we're shit at the moment.
Says it all there, pal.
My mental health. But seriously, look at Alistair Cook. Alistair Cook was never on social media.
That's because his best mate's a sheep.
Yeah.
I don't think
Ben Folks is on social media either.
No, he's not. He's not. See? I did try and find him, but he's definitely not on there.
I'm with Daz.
Oh, he's on a pseudonym, maybe. But
I think it's absolutely a storm in a keycup. Like, I think Alex Hartley, I'm pretty sure she didn't mean it in any bad way at all. I've said things like that to my mate who've just been.
She did reply though, Ollie. She did reply and say she didn't mean it that way. It's just
taken. She apologised. Yeah. I don't understand.
Taken
what
out of context. But you know, the funny thing is that Rory Burns' previous post was like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So this is the one thing. This is the one.
Because he's given him nothing to do for the last 4 days. He thought, well,
maybe
do you think on Twitter?
Yeah.
Do you think Tinder, I suppose.
Do you think he was on the Cobras?
Nothing wrong with that, mate.
Say again.
Do you think he was on the Cobras as well, having a few?
Oh, no, surely, if you're not getting picked and there is a bar there full of Cobra, if you are not a cricketer, you would not.
Having said that, where they are playing at the moment, the state that they are in is a dry state.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the hotel has got a bar.
You would have
a secret
bar. Well, to be fair, like Stokesy said, they're literally, they've all got their Xboxes with them, or their PlayStations, they're literally just gaming.
What, do the Xboxes serve beer these days?
No, but I'm saying...
get a nice customised one.
Yeah, all right, but like you're saying, it's a dry state. If they're not drinking, they're just, you know... They're all obviously just cooped up in their rooms, aren't they? Because normally he's social.
Play Scrabble.
Or Monopoly or something. You know, why do they have to play gaming? You know, what's this on Call of Duty? You know, what's going on? Scrabble. I don't know, Pictionary.
A few of our lads at the cricket club, Jack and Tom McMillan and Matt Vickers, they've played with Jofra, Joss Butler, and Joe Root last summer when they were obviously in the Biosecure bubble. They played a couple of Warzone games with them, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
You're very gullible, Tom.
No. I'm serious. 100% serious.
Have a good old-fashioned game of soldiers where you actually get your little plastic soldiers out of your chest. Right, line them up in your hotel room. Why don't
these
do that?
These are 30-year-old men, Darren, not 12-year-olds. Can you imagine Jofra going... No, mate, what did you do on your time off, Joff? Yeah, mate, I get my little...
I played battleships with Joe.
But no, I think personally, anyway, go back to Alex Hartley. I think, is there a possibility she was just on a massive fishing trip with this? Out of somebody.
I don't think it was a massive fishing trip. I think she was being humorous, which it was quite. Probably not to the person that...
I find it amazing.
but she does a lot of podcasts and stuff like that and media bits. And I think she had her social media brain on, this will go quite well in terms of her likes and retweets and whatever.
To get
and
people
behold,
to, yeah.
It did go quite well
Rory
in
Burns,
terms of that.
Burnsy coming out like something out of Jaws 3, biting away.
After not being on Twitter for 6 months, absolutely nom, 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 nom.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have a piece of that. But yeah, I thought it was very funny. And the news, the tabloids need to just chill out over it, I think.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, PSL. Lots of fast bowling. Shaheen Afridi is gun.
I knew this. I've been saying
you've
this
said, yeah, for
forever.
The last 2 years, Ollie, all you've gone on about is what a gun that he is.
He is quality. I've said it for eight. He's just, and do you know what it is? Do you know what it is, boys? And I keep coming back to this. It's the fact he's tall. You want to be good at cricket, you got to be tall.
Right, it looks like you were better to start growing then, pal.
Well, that says a lot of things about my cricket, doesn't it? But
I haven't watched much of this. In fact, I only watched it for the first time today. And I turned the TV on, and within 5 minutes, I saw James Vince get out.
Shock. Did he snick off?
Yeah.
Was he playing a beautiful cover driver? That is the question. No, I haven't followed it recently, mainly just due to the timings. But like you say, there is some quick Pakistani talent around. Shaheen Afridi's obviously up there, but there are some quick boys.
And they're all bowling 144, plus. And
left-handers, they're quality. There's some quality in
just
there.
Digressing from the PSL, with Pakistan now playing back in their home country, what will this do for Pakistan cricket? And will this make Pakistan an even stronger force to be reckoned with going forward?
Absolutely. There's no question for me. Absolutely. What will happen is, obviously, with cricket being played, fans can come and see it off the street. Your average Joe can come see it. Then that will inspire the younger generation to come and attend and aspire in a country that already is quite cricket mad. Mm. It'll be is good for this country. I think it's great. And it's already showing, I think. They all seem really positive. It actually looks, obviously the security issue is a lot better. So yeah, I think in 10 years time, we could see Pakistan, not even 10, 5 to 10 years, we could see them as a proper, like, gunning up there, I think. They've got some good batsmen knocking around. They've got that keeper, Rizwan. Oh my word, he is so, so good.
They've got some serious talent.
That's fair. And it's just emerging now, and it's starting to emerge all at the same time.
But because they're all between 18 and 24, so they're coming into their prime, aren't they? You know,
well, five years' time, they'll be at the top.
They've
of
also
part.
Got guys that have been on the sidelines for like 10 years and stuff, and they just haven't been playing for whatever reason. The politics in and around Pakistan's cricket, like, puts West Indies board level angst and South Africa's board level angst just into the thing. But they've got fast bowlers, spinners that rip it, and they've got batsmen who smash it. I mean, that's what you want.
But forget, like, Yasir Shah, like he's gone under the radar recently, but he's quality spinner. Batsman wise, you've obviously got Babur, but you've got that, like, Rizwan is so ridiculous, it's untrue. Honestly, I can see it in 3 to 5 to 10 years time. I know that's a bit of a range, but soon there's going to be, I think Pakistan could be one of the best teams in the world. I think they could make it to number one.
Well, they heard it here first. On the coming into prime, it was Shaheed Afridi's birthday the other day.
Was he like 50 now or?
Well, that was the interesting thing. So Crick Info have his age as 41.
Mm.
Shaheed Afridi's autobiography has his age as 46. And in his tweet, he said, it's my 44th birthday. So take your pick.
Again, Ed Smith's been out with his bloody bingo balls again.
Well, let's just say he's 40 plus.
You are 44 today.
Does he look 40? He's still playing and still
ripping
it and still smashing it.
So there was a sign there for Alistair Cook to come out of retirement. And
no, mate, no, I like him as a pundit. But I think the thing is, we need to, as cricketers, in this sport, we have this perception that once you get to, say, 34, you're basically done, effectively. You're on at retirement any day now. Whereas there are players that, as the years are going by, and obviously with medical science becoming better and better, it's starting to get to the point where players can play.
Well, look at Chris Gayle as well, isn't it?
Their 40s. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he can't
Jimmy
move.
Anderson,
he hits the ball a bloody long way.
Mate, he doesn't have to move, does he? Let's be honest.
No, exactly. But there are players that out there. I mean, you had got the Pakistan.
Al-Haq,
yeah, exactly, yeah. And I think it's great. I like to see players carry on and not just get to 30 and go, right, I need to start looking to shut up shop now. It's great. Fair play to them.
Still hope for me and you yet, Darren.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The PSL will come calling soon.
Another golden oldie in the Twitter spats.
You?
Dale Steyn is pulling no punches. So, first of all, Simon Dool got his wrath for taking the mickey out of his hair. I mean, his hair is pretty awful.
It's pretty terrible.
Oh, we've seen some terrible hairstyles over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets to do what he wants, really.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Yeah, we won't go any more, will we, Tay? We won't go any more.
No, we won't. We won't discuss my hairstyles. So anyway, that was a nice little bit of a Twitter spat. And then Dale Steyn then went on to say the Pakistan Super League is amazing, much better than the IPL, because all the IPL ever care about is... And to be fair...
I'd have to agree with him on that.
Yeah. But I wouldn't want that to hinder any future IPL contracts coming our way.
So no, definitely.
I would happily say that the IPL is amazing. To be fair,
both leagues have got pros and cons. Simple as you know.
I'll say IPL.
Yes, it's like Dale Steyn said, in his view, it's all about the money. But then you look at that is attracting some of the best players in T20 to then give us some great games, you know?
It is and it isn't, though. I've noticed recently, especially with this IPL auction, that there's a certain... They seem to get overseas player in to fill holes that they don't have. So, like I say, fast bowlers, yep, get snapped up. But the absolute gun batsmen don't really especially get picked up unless you are properly good, like cream of the crop.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference in PSL. PSL does seem to be I think it might just because it's new and they haven't got with Steyn contracts, but yeah, I like the fact that you can just have batsmen from, you know, Tom Curley Capmore, Joe Clark, you know, all these kind of players that I'm like, oh, brilliant, these are the players I want to watch play because they're up and coming.
I may be biased, but when it comes to T20, I still think our T20 is the best in the world.
We love a T20 blast trip to New Road.
I
love it.
It just goes on too long.
Yeah.
It goes on too long, and there's no strategy. There's been no strategy to really make it the pizzazz. And this is why they've decided to throw a whole load of money at the 100, because they didn't do it in the first place at T20, which is where they should have done, or alternatively T10 if you want to make it quicker. But they didn't invite in just having so many games and such a long drawn out thing disrupts the whole county season, and that's the difficulty.
I think the finals are amazing.
It's just amazing,
but they need to make every game almost like a final.
But that's the thing, they could split it and get it done so quickly and go right, instead of like the two groups and then you have the top two, and then, you know, you could literally go right, four groups, and then the top team from there, bang, finals day done. Sack off this quarterfinal rubbish.
I mean, the thing, that's why the T10 is so appealing, is that it's, you're getting a variety of cricket in a day. It's an event, the whole day is an event. Whereas I always find with our Tweet 20 competition, as you've said, Tony, like I go, oh, is so and so playing today, and I have no idea where they are in the league. No clue. I just walk up and I watch a load of batsmen hit the ball very far. And I'm like, great. Whereas it doesn't seem to mean anything, I don't think.
Yeah, that's
whereas
that's
until
a fair
it gets
point,
to finals day.
That's a fair point. At no point other than Worcester might be in promotion or not in promotion, in the top two
finals.
But, what everyone else is doing, I don't get, because it's so disjointed and not that and I'm living in the country and I'm a cricket fanatic.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually pay more attention to the county scene, to our 4-day games as for the county, than I do our T20 stuff. And that really? Isn't the way it should be. It should be easier to follow. I do, yeah, because I actually, which would you rather win? Would you rather win as a county team? Would you rather win the T20 Blast, or would you rather win the County Cup, First Division?
Right, so, look, I want to win both.
I'm not greedy, but I'll have them both.
Yeah, I'll have both. I've got to say,
three. Throw the one dayer in there as well.
Yeah, I've got to say, going to the final, being lucky enough to get tickets for the final, when you win a final and you raise that cup at the end of it, there's something special about that. It's a bit like in football. I know everyone goes on about winning the league. You give me the FA Cup any day of the week.
Nice.
I would love to win the FA Cup.
Speaking like a true West Brom
fan. Just saying, being a Villa fan, just give me any trophy right now.
As an Arsenal fan, I've got
yeah, you've got no hope, mate. Unlucky.
Cool. Well, just a few other bits. Just one thing I noticed earlier as I was scrolling through quickly on Twitter. Hasib Hamid, who we could have done with because he can play spin. Anyway,
he was the next up and coming back in 2016.
Yeah, so he's now vice-captain of Notts and their captain of their 50-over side.
Oh, class.
Fantastic.
So hopefully he has a good season this season and put some pressure on the guys opening the batting in the test setup. And Ben Cox has signed a new contract for Worcester.
Oh, yes, joys. I think he's listened to this podcast, if I'm honest, you know.
Yeah,
there was a big
yeah.
plea from Bobby.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Get on your contacts, Tom, from the county and get him listening, mate.
God bless you, Ben Cox. I mean, you won't regret it.
I hope he takes a quite a central role in that team as well. Maybe even like captaincy. That would be quality.
Yeah,
for him,
that's the thing. I think Barnard, when he was made captain of that T20 team, his performance has just dipped, in my opinion, from watching them. I think you stick Coxie as skipper, Mitch is his voice, you know, because Mitch has got the experience, been there, done that. Bring Coxie on a bit more, and then you could bring then Ben as skipper of the one day, or even, you know, the 4-dayer sort of thing.
Yeah.
Look, it's great news. It's great news that Ben Coxie is committing to Worcestershire. I think it sends out a strong message to the rest of the lads at Worcestershire as well. If Ben Cox had
Absolutely.
Left, would others start to look around and think, well, what's going on here? So I'm really Absolutely. Pleased with that.
Well, I'm hoping we can change this this kind of brush that we did get tarred with, where we seem to build up these cricketers and we're almost a breeding ground for the cricketers and then they move. You know, so, you know, we've got the Joe Clarks, the Kola Cabmores and stuff. So, yeah. Great, fantastic. We've managed to keep hold of one.
Great news.
Great
news.
Fantastic.
Great stuff. Well done, Ben, and great stuff on whoever gave him enough money to sign on the dotted line.
Must have been the Morgan sponsorship.
Ed Smith with his bingo machine again. You get a new contract.
You watch now, Ben Cox will be driving around Worcestershire in a Morgan car.
Yeah. That's the sponsor. That was the team with that.
Three wheeler. They saved a bit of money.
Yeah, beautiful.
Okay, so on to any other business. So I've got one which I'll pop in first, and it relates to Callum, who we discussed earlier, who sent in a question. Well, he contacted me earlier on in January because his local club, Morpeth Cricket Club, wanted to get some new nets, and they noticed that Malvern Cricket Club, our club, had a crowdfunder, and we raised $20,000 on that for it, and he wanted some advice on whether it was a good system, whether the system worked, and whether it was worthwhile doing, which I obviously said, yep, do it. It's a great system. So there's been lots of Sport England matching funding on crowdfunder events, and it's really helped some cricket clubs, local cricket clubs, upgrade their facilities in the times where we are. And it's going to be really important, especially for mental health as we go forward, to have those facilities. And if they're better, we're going to get more enjoyment out of it. And so it's great. But the reason why I'm telling us this, or telling you this, is because they have 1 day, 2 days left, I think, on their fundraiser. They're a couple of grand short. And anybody out there who fancies putting a tenner into their crowdfunder, look up MorePethCC on crowdfunder. We will put in the notes for the show, in the show notes, a link to their crowdfunder page. www.crowdfunder.co.uk/new-nets/MorePethCC. Anyway, there will be a link. If you've got a fiver or a tenner, bung them some money, because they'll, as a club, much appreciate it.
We are all one cricket community.
Yep, hashtag cricket. Great stuff. Well done. Hope you succeed, boys. And good luck for the season up there at Morpeth CC.
All the best, boys.
Tom, any other business?
As you boys know, the last couple of years have probably been the hardest years of, I'd probably say, my life, if I'm honest. Age of 16, lost my nan. It was like, you know, big, massive influence on my cricket life. First one to like buy me my whites, my first ever cricket bag, the lot. But then gone on, I've lost various family members, lost friends. And it all kind of came to a blow the last 2 years. I think it was in the middle of the summer. I was captain of our first team. And one night, I just came home. I just sat down and just started crying. Couldn't stop crying. I had a proper massive breakdown. And if it wasn't without the support of Ollie, Darren, yourself, Mozzie, and my family, more importantly, and my friends, I honestly don't think I would be here today. Like, I went into a really bad patch. To be fair, it's kind of hard, because this is properly like the first time I've ever spoken to anybody about it. And do you know what? Like, now, even after this lockdown, I've had some challenging times throughout this lockdown and the first lockdown. But like you say, with cricket and mental health, it, you know, if I didn't have cricket as sort of my release, you know, it was a struggle for me. Like, I spoke to the Samaritans. Obviously, you can ring them. It's a free number. It's 116 123. But also, like, I even rung Papyrus, because they are, if you are feeling honestly that bad that you've got suicidal thoughts, Papyrus is the best people you can speak to. Their number is 0800 068 4141. You know, it's a charity that's close to me as well, and hopefully, well. But honestly, guys, like, without you boys and my family and that, I don't know where I'd be today. If, like, being totally honest, you boys, like, brought me out of a shit time, you know, with cricket and going off to see England, Ireland, the Ashes. You know, doing stuff with you boys, being sociable, talking, it brought me out of a real dark time, and now I feel mentally strong that I can talk about it openly, and, you know, I can help others, and you know, that is my aim. So, you know, people that you're listening to this podcast and you're struggling, go on our socials. I follow all our socials. Just search for me and just drop us a message. Honestly, like, I'm available pretty much 24/7. If you're like feeling bad and it's 2-3 o'clock in the morning, just drop us a message. You know, I'll be there for like anybody, because I don't want people to go through the state that I went through.
Well said, Tom.
And, you know, yeah.
Well said, Tommy. Really good stuff, mate. Yeah. And if you message him at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm sure he can regale you stories of his wickets that he's taken over the years. He'll put you to bed quite quickly, I'm sure. But no, Tommy, fair play, mate. Yeah. Takes a lot of courage to say stuff.
Absolutely.
Like that,
and what I would say as well, Tom, is that you did the hard work. We just helped you along the way. You did the hard work, mate. And for you to sit there now and be able to talk about it, help others, that's massive. You know, there will be someone listening to this podcast who you've just helped. I promise you that.
And on that, we had a message during the week from Matt Pig Cricket. He said really appreciated this particular section of it, of our podcast, because it's something that you don't necessarily get from any cricket podcast. People saying, telling their weaknesses or where they've struggled, and that it was a really big help, and he enjoyed listening to us talk about that kind of thing. So really important there. So yeah, well done, Tom. That's really good. We will put the details of those in the notes for the show as well. So if anyone wants to get those, they can get those from the show notes. Boys, any other business?
I've got a quick one, another light-hearted one, as I'm known for. So in my quest to become the ultimate test cricketer,
I've
taken up a bit of video gaming like all the pros do nowadays. And I've taken up a bit of Ashes Cricket 19. And lads, I'm happy to announce that I signed my first test contract. And in my first game, I followed the faith up with a cheeky 0 and a 3. And let's just say, lads, that the pitch was terrible.
Batter Johnny.
Coley said otherwise. Coley said otherwise. It was an absolute beaut. But yeah, more to come on that in future episodes, I'm sure. But the path is set for me now.
To be honest, I can't really remember much after Brian.
The Sega.
I just have the tabletop game.
We're back to your bloody soldiers.
I've actually got a test match in my loft.
I got one for the kids this Christmas.
Have you let them play it yet? Or is it just you playing with the
no.
They don't know that.
Every player is named Arnold 1 on the back. He's just stuck that on himself.
Follow my dreams.
Well, boys. Well, I think all that's left to do is say, listeners, if you can like, share, get on our social media, ask any questions that you want to hear us talk about, or maybe you don't. but get on there anyway. Subscribe. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, any of the podcast things that we're on. It's a great pleasure for us to do this for you. It helps us, and we
highlight of my week.
You mildly enjoy it, and that it helps you as well, chaps. Thank you very much for your time this evening. Really enjoyed it. Big up England.
Come on, England.
Come on, boys. Here we go.
Come on.
Bring it home, Rudy.
Gents, it's been fun, boys. Take it steady.
See you guys.
God bless, boys. Take care. Ben Foulkes is the most beautiful cricketer in the world.
Stuart Broad is Kerry's Berries legend.
Glenn Maxwell is in the Kerry's and Berries big boy category.